This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Valley Football First and Goal, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference on the lineupmedia.fm network. Now, your host, Kelly Burke.
Well, this week's MVFC First and Goal podcast, we go behind the mic with the voice of the University of South Dakota Coyotes, Joe Van Gore. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kelly, and really have enjoyed the series so far this year. You know, when you talk to Art Haynes and also Mike Reese and then Dick Lutke as well, compared to those guys, I'm kind of like a baby in poopy diapers as far as their longevity, and for me not having done the Coyotes all that long.
Yeah, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit though, because you've done a lot of stuff in South Dakota in general. So, you know, one thing I wanted to start with is this is your second stint with the Coyotes, your first having been in 1990 and 91. And so what was it like returning to USD, you know, back in 2012? And what have you particularly enjoyed about this second time around?
Well, it was kind of a roundabout way where I got to be with the Coyotes again. In 2012, Learfield became the marketing and broadcast arm for USD as well as South Dakota State, you know, here in South Dakota. And they were looking for a flagship station to broadcast USD from. And they had had a station in Sioux Falls during the Division I transition from 2008 to 2012. But Learfield was looking for a station to be a flagship. And the station I worked at the time, full-time, Classic Hits 106.3 Vermilion Yankton, did apply to be a flagship. And then the agreement was made with the university. And so officially in January of 2012, got back with the Coyotes. It's been interesting, you know, to be with them, especially at the start of their full eligibility as far as football and men's basketball, which I both do. So it's been fun. The travel for, you know, Division I is obviously a lot different than it was in the Division II days back in the 80s and in the 90s and in the 2000s as well. So it's been fun, and it's been interesting at this stage of my career.
You know, Joe, you were a state champion basketball player in high school. How did that influence your career path?
Well, actually, Kelly, I was sitting at the end of the bench for Yankton High School when we won the State A tournament back in 1978. And I wasn't really a big athlete in high school. I didn't play football. I never got past junior leader football in the fifth grade because I was just getting pummeled at left tackle. So I never played football again. But I did pick up basketball in the eighth grade after, finally getting permission from my mother. But basketball was my main sport in high school, and I was fortunate enough to be on a team that won the state tournament. And to answer your question, you know, you get great powers of observation sitting on the bench. And I had actually started in radio in June of 1976 at a local station in Yankton, South Dakota. So as of June of this year, I've been in radio for 40 years, and now this is my 33rd year of calling games.
Well, congratulations. That's quite the accomplishment.
Well, that's, you know, I had two older brothers that were in radio at the time in the late 60s, early 70s, and they both went to the University of South Dakota. Now, my oldest brother is a lawyer. My second oldest brother is a doctor, so I probably took the path of least resistance. So.
You know, you and I were talking a little bit ago on the phone that, you know, the Coyotes pulled a major upset over Northern Iowa this weekend, who was ranked 11th at the time. And so you guys won 28-25.
Chris Trevler claps the hands. Two-step drop. Now being rushed, throws, got a catch. Dakari Carpenter at the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown, South Dakota!
You know, what stands out about that game, and could you consider it Bob Nielsen's first really signature win?
At South Dakota, most definitely. You know, you and I had come in with a great running attack with their quarterback Aaron Bailey and Tyvus Smith. You know, they had put up some pretty impressive numbers. The UNI defense only was giving up like 68 yards per game rushing, and the Coyotes had just a touch over 200. Plus, the Coyotes minimized their mistakes. Before the game on Saturday, the Coyotes had allowed 66 points off of their turnovers. And, you know, that led to, you know, obviously a loss at North Dakota back in the non-conference on September 17th, where the Coyotes lost in double overtime. And, you know, Youngstown State had scored a pick six against the Coyotes, you know, when the Coyotes had pulled to within 10 points with 5 minutes to go, obviously manageable. But I think the Coyote defense really came to the occasion, especially in the fourth quarter when you and I was just coming down the field, but got a key stop and, you know, and also got a sack on Northern Iowa's last offensive play to seal the win.
You know, like athletes, many broadcasters have a pregame routine, and I'm curious what yours is on game day.
As far as, well, I guess I'm probably one of the few Division I announcers that sets up their own equipment.
Oh, okay.
And when I started in, I started in sportscasting in 1984 and was responsible for that equipment. And, you know, I set up equipment as far as, well, obviously where I was at. I mean, I did high school football for a long time in Southeast South Dakota and Northeast Nebraska, where you know, required sometimes you're sitting outside, sometimes you're sitting in a booth, you know, shoulder to shoulder. But I like to get to a venue early, you know, whether it's at home or away, and take the time to set up the equipment where it's not going to burn up or anything. And also, you know, the folks at Learfield, you know, like to have you check in with your flagship at least an hour before you go on. Now, here locally, the flagship has a pregame show. Our sideline reporter does a tailgate show before the network pregame. I would say that's kind of my routine. I like to get there early, like to set up the equipment, like to be comfortable before I, you know, start talking.
Yeah, that's certainly understandable. Work out any kinks that there are. Well, you know, you've worked in South Dakota, or nearby at least, for nearly your entire career. And I'm wondering if that's a conscious decision, you know, to stay close to your roots, or just you were really fortunate.
You know, growing up in Yankton, South Dakota, always very comfortable with my surroundings. And, of course, in the outlying area as well, as my sportscasting career you know, started in January of 1984. Always been comfortable. And of course, I've done high school sports and some college sports up until I started doing USD again in 2012. You know, and so I never really had any big, you know, aspirations of moving. I mean, I was just comfortable. People liked my work, and I was able to, you know, make a pretty good living and still do. Doing sports in this area.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, you worked with head football coach Joe Glenn for several years before he retired. And now, of course, Bob Nielsen has come in and is his first. He was at Western Illinois last year and was the Missouri Valley Coach of the Year there, and then has come in and is in his first year at USD. You know, how would you describe his personality from getting to know him, and what has he really brought to Vermilion?
Well, of course, I'd known Coach Nielsen before Minnesota Duluth, where he coached in the 2000s, was a member of the North Central Conference. And at that time, covering the Coyotes or helping cover the Coyotes, I was responsible for getting pregame interviews with the opposing coach. So I had talked to him in the past. And then, of course, for the 3 years he was at Western Illinois, I was able to get pregame interviews with him. Very businesslike. Of course, Coach Glenn, you know, was a joy to work with, no doubt. He's one of those guys that, you know, stand tall, root for your school. And you know, he added that really being involved touch to it. You know, Coach Nielsen has his style of being very businesslike. He brought most of his staff from Western Illinois with him, very professional in their approach. You know, they, you know, they're taking on, you know, a program that, you know, since transitioning Division One, South Dakota hasn't had really a great record. But, you know, I think by evidenced by the win for the Coyotes over Northern Iowa on Saturday, I think you're starting to see, you know, the players get the message that, hey, you know, this is how, you know, things are going to go. And, you know, we'll give you the coaching and, you know, we'll, you know, see what the result is on the field. So, you know, getting to know Coach Nielsen and his staff, you know, is still, you know, an ongoing deal. But it's a very professional staff, and it's, you know, been a joy to, you know, try to get to know them and kind of know how they want to do things and which way the program's going.
Mm-hmm. Well, my conversation with Joe continues in just a second, but if you enjoy what you are hearing so far on the MVFC First and Goal, check out all the Lineup Media Group podcasts where there's something for everyone, football, baseball, hockey, and plenty of non-sports podcasts too. Now back to the show. You know, I have a picture of you interviewing former NBC news anchor Tom Brokaw, who mm-hmm. is from South Dakota and finished up college in Vermilion. What was that experience like interviewing him, and were you nervous at all for the interview?
Oh, my. well, that would have been back in 2012. Tom went to Yankton High School and graduated in 1958, and then, of course, did his undergraduate at USD before moving into television. And, of course, with the rise that he had, first on the Today Show and then being the anchor of the NBC Nightly News, he never forgot his roots. He's always come back to South Dakota, especially to USD, especially for the Dakota Days homecoming celebration. He and his wife were the parade marshals in 2012. And, of course, I got the wild idea a couple weeks before the game to contact university relations to see if Tom would consent to coming on the air with us, you know, for a short halftime segment. Well, I was told that was possible, but I didn't realize that they were going to help crown Mr. and Miss Dakota at halftime and that all of a sudden he wouldn't be available. So I did, you know, one of the sports information peoples at South Dakota said, well, would he consent to coming up and putting on a headset while we're doing like in the third quarter or something like that? All of a sudden, up the stairs he came. Put on a headset, and of course I was, you know, extremely nervous. I mean, here's a, you know, a journalist of national and, you know, worldwide fame, but he was very, very comfortable. I got more comfortable as the conversation goes on. My mother is a huge fan of his. She actually knew his parents when they were living in Yankton. Back, you know, starting in the late 50s when a nearby dam was being built near Yankton. So, you know, my mother got to hear that interview, and she was just all giddy and excited. And, you know, after having Tom on the air for the entire third quarter, and we were playing Western Illinois at the time, too, and didn't win that game, unfortunately. But it was, you know, something that I was very proud of, and a lot of people let me know that they enjoyed the interview as well.
Yeah, that's quite the honor. You announced the Class B State Amateur Baseball Tournament in South Dakota, including, I read, 18 games in 5 days. So what is that change of pace like? Because I believe it includes, you know, calling everything like bingo numbers too.
Well, I was a PA announcer. This is my third year of doing, you know, the PA for the State Amateur Baseball Tournament, and it's been in Mitchell, which is about a couple hours northwest of Vermilion in eastern South Dakota. One of the things I kind of branched into when I started working for the stations here in Vermilion that eventually moved to Yankton in 1993 was doing amateur, Legion, and teener baseball. And baseball is something I kind of found that I had, you know, kind of a knack for. So for years, I had covered an amateur baseball league in Southeast South Dakota that included a couple teams from Northeast Nebraska, and always would cover their league games postseason, like a district tournament, and, you know, five teams that advanced from this district to the state amateur baseball tournament. So I was kind of familiar, with the, you know, surroundings of the state tournament. And when I cut back from working full-time with the flagship in 2012, you know, once in a while I'll help out with games, either high school basketball or football or baseball games. But I found it was a way to, you know, keep connected with amateur baseball in South Dakota, which is really big, and also, you know, keep my connections with the players and the managers and the fans that I've gotten to know over the 20-plus years that I did it.
Yeah. You know, your son, Jesse, who actually played a big part in making this interview happen and getting Skype set up, but he also works for Learfield and the Coyote Sports Network. And so what is that like, you know, having him heavily involved in the work that you do for USD?
Well, it's interesting. He's a 2008 graduate of Vermilion High School and went to a technical school to learn electrical construction and maintenance. He had got kind of that bug working for facilities management at USD during his junior and senior years of high school. But after serving an apprenticeship down south and working here in Vermilion for a manufacturing company as an electrician, he told me in January of, he came back to South Dakota in January of 2012. Later that year, he goes, well, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go to USD. I want to take up marketing and advertising. And, it kind of worked out that he worked his way into Coyote Sports Properties Learfield as an intern. And then when I guess you can call him a salesman or a representative, went on to another property, he was able to go full time, and it's been great. I mean, it's kind of slowed up him finishing school. He'll be done, you know, with school at USD, you know, soon, we hope. But it's really been a joy, you know, to see him grow into, you know, the business from that end of it, because it's just as important as, you know, putting a game on the air. You know, the background with marketing and promotions at a school is vitally important as well.
You know, I was really interested to see that during USD's football's bye week, you begin what you affectionately call the JVG bye week mini tour.
Yes.
where did your love of golf come from? You know, and how is the state of your game?
Well, the state of my game, I'll get that right out of the way. It's anywhere from bad to mediocre. But I actually started playing golf in the mid-80s when I started my sportscasting career. But as the years went on and the responsibilities became more numerous, I mean, I found that I really didn't have a lot of time to play golf. I mean, there was times that I would play maybe once or twice a year, because I did have a full-time job and there were, you know, responsibilities with that. But since 2012, I guess actually beginning in 2013, I must have played somewhere around 45 to 50 rounds of golf, which would be probably the most since for the past 20 years combined. And, you know, the schedule that I have now, with doing USD and football and men's basketball. Also, we have a small studio and office in Vermilion where I'm on with our morning man on the flagship Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 9:30. And, you know, that at least it gets me awake before 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, for 19 years, I woke up at 4:15 in the morning and commuted either from Yankton to Vermilion or from Vermilion to Yankton. So the schedule that I have allows me to, you know, go out. And I thought, you know, with not much going on during the bye week, you know, and our sideline reporter would usually join me on the bye week mini tour, but he's had surgery on his knee and his shoulder, and so I had to kind of gut it out myself. But no, enjoy playing golf. Enjoy going to outings around the area, particularly USD ones, you know, which is a great way to connect with, you know, fans and also sponsors as well.
You know, have you ever run into the bye week, you know, being so late in the football season? Like, let's say, for example, in November, that the, you know, the JVG bye week mini golf tour gets jeopardized by weather?
Well, no, it hasn't been that way. The bye week has always been in September. I know that, you know, football coaches that I've talked to over the years, especially college coaches, they would like that probably sometime in mid to late October. But I think, you know, having it in September is great. It does great, as you mentioned, for the bye week mini tour.
Yeah, that's very important. Joe, you're very active on social media, you know. What kind of inspired you to specifically join Twitter? And what is your take, you know, as being the voice of a school and being a play-by-play voice? Why is it important, you know, to be active on social media?
Well, actually, I haven't been on Twitter that long, maybe about 3 years, and I was kind of goaded into doing that, you know. And, you know, for the amount of tweets that I see some guys have, or like some colleagues have, like, you know, they're in the 30,000s or something. I'm just over 1,100 in 3 years. I just try to let people know, you know, what we're doing. You know, we have a Monday night coaches show called The Coyote Report in downtown Vermilion, where we talk with, you know, football coach Bob Nielsen. And then, of course, basketball will come in December. Just try to let people know that, hey, this show is coming up. You know, sometimes when we travel, you know, say, hey, we're here and we got the game tomorrow. And, you know, also my Twitter account is tied into my Facebook account. So it also lets people know that at least the friends that I have on Facebook, you know, what we're doing, and, you know, and promote it that way.
You know, what is your advice to young aspiring broadcasters?
Well, as a matter of fact, late in September, I did talk to a sports broadcasting class at USD. And of course, I, you know, tell them that I'm an old grizzled veteran, you know, of the school of hard knocks and radio, where you had to kind of learn by doing. You know, I told them, be prepared. I mean, you just can't graduate from school and then expect to be at a TV, major TV station or a major TV network doing sports or everything like that, or, you know, stepping in and doing Division I play-by-play. I told them, be prepared to be a jack of all trades, because at small radio stations, and especially the one that I started at, you have many different hats. Where, you know, the technology from when I started, I was playing records, actual vinyl records on a turntable. I was playing commercials on a cart. We had a wire machine that you ripped and read for your news, weather, and sports. But now with the automation and everything like that, things are kind of a lot simpler. And I didn't really see, you know, automation except in its first form back in 1993. But really, I just told these men and women that you have to be a jack of all trades. Learn what sales is about. Learn what programming is about, because they all correlate into the games you do. Because if you don't have, well, of course, a good cell service, you don't have sponsors, you know, you don't have cooperation from coaches or the place that you're doing a game at, you know, you can't do a broadcast. So I said, just learn all the aspects of where you're at and how everything kind of correlates into the games you do.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything that I have not asked you that you would like to share?
Well, again, I've really enjoyed the series, Kelly, that you've done with the other voices here in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, I only see them once a year because they, you know, they're in the Valley or another league for other sports, while there's some that I see, you know, of course, doing football and men's basketball in the Valley and in the Summit League. Just, you know, feel fortunate to be a part of this fraternity and, you know, look to, you know, hopefully, you know, advance the good name of the University of South Dakota as they continue this trek through Division I athletics.
Well, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you and, of course, the rest of the announcers in the league so far. You know, you hear about you guys from afar, or maybe you know a little bit about you briefly, but to get to know you better has been a real joy for me. And, of course, the Valley in general just has such a rich history of longtime play-by-play announcers, or, you know, obviously with South Dakota recently joining the league in the last 5 years, it's been fun to have you aboard as well. So,
all right. Appreciate it, Kelly.
I appreciate your time. Well, if you like what you heard from Joe Van Gore and our MVFC First and Goal podcast, check out the many other podcasts Lineup Media Group offers. The Not So Fast podcast, Four Buddies Talking Sports, is just one of many choices. Head to lineupmedia.fm for more info or to subscribe.
Tune in next week for another episode of Valley Football's First and Goal with Kelly Burke, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, only on the lineupmedia.fm network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.